Hello and welcome. This is Mark Gruber. I'm a professor for entrepreneurship and technology commercialization at the École Polytechnique Fédérale de Lausanne in Switzerland, the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology in Lausanne. And I'm also currently serving as associate editor of the Academy of Management Journal, with a particular focus on manuscripts that deal with innovation and entrepreneurship. In this podcast, I will talk about a few elements, few observations that I have regarding family business research, and also will provide a number of ideas of where this field of research, which I find particularly exciting, could go in the future. So in particular, I want to walk you through a couple of slides that you will also find here on the homepage, and talk about research challenges in family business research, give you a very, very brief overview of research today, and then talk about observations from my daily life as an editor for entrepreneurship and innovation, where I also handle manuscripts on family business. Oftentimes, what type of errors, what type of faults authors make when submitting a manuscript, and what type of errors could even be avoided. For instance, the scope of the paper doesn't fit the journal, the novelty is not sufficient for the journal. The theoretical contribution is not strong enough, etc., etc. I will conclude this talk by pointing out a number of research questions that I believe could shape the field within the next couple of years. These are associated in part with several grand challenges that lie ahead of humankind, and I want to specify those and conclude with some remarks. But let me start with pointing out some research challenges that currently are faced by family business researchers. So, to bring us all on the same page, family businesses are typically considered as commercial organizations. The decision making is often shaped by multiple family generations. They are typically related by blood or marriage, and there's leadership and ownership or ownership within the family. So, one critical element here is that, of course, needs to be put into question is the role of a commercial organization. You've seen the advent of social enterprises, so the question is whether this definition of family business, which is widespread, is actually one that is all-encompassing, and I would challenge this assumption, given that commercial organizations are a particular type of organization, that what we have learned over the past couple of years is that there are many variations of organizations, not all of which have a strong or even a mediocre commercial interest. This is an aside, but an important aside, because it forms the platform from what we will be building on now. And there, research challenges in family business research are evident in a number of aspects. First, there's measurement considerations. Everyone who has engaged in survey research on family businesses has made that experience. There are data collection challenges, given that most of these firms are privately held. So data is typically hard to acquire. It's not readily downloadable from third-party websites, typically. And then if you write a paper, so research contribution in that domain, you need to figure out, well, what is my contribution? And there are two ways of looking at that are typically evident in papers. One is a more phenomenon-oriented framing, meaning I discuss family business, and I contribute to family business research. And then there could be theoretical contributions beyond that, building on that, meaning we contribute to research, to the developing theory on family business, but more broadly maybe to organizational theory or stewardship theory or any other theory. And with that latter framing, the importance or the scope of the paper grows, and you can reach a larger number of people. But I will come back to that phenomenon, that versus theory and theory discussion a bit. Let me turn to research to date for 2-3 minutes. Family business research has seen, I think, a wonderful progression over the last few years. We have seen many researchers entering that domain. We have seen many, many more publications, even in the most important, most well-known outlets in the world, be it family business research journals or general management journals. When you look at the number of topics that are typically, or the range of topics that are typically discussed, the next slide shows you a statistic from a paper by Benavides Velasco that has been published in 2011, where the authors have looked at typical keywords identified in family business research using hierarchical clustering analysis, and they have seen that there are six clusters of research, and well, from succession, governance, organization theory, small and medium-sized enterprises, ownership, human resources. These clusters all are related, as you see, to the definition that I've been given in the beginning of this talk, which is already an interesting observation because most researchers actually try to understand family business based on their particularities, specificities, let's say it that way. This is also evident when you turn to the next slide, where I've researched the papers that have been published in AMJ in the past couple of years that specifically mention family business either in the title or in the abstract. And you see, first, it's a certain number of authors that is publishing repeatedly sometimes in AMJ about family businesses. But you also see a larger number. It's not a huge number, but it's a larger number, an increasing number of papers being published in the, especially since 2010. So there is interest among the general readership in the management domain for papers on family business, which is an important observation and an important insight for all family business researchers. But there's when you look at the particular topics that these papers discuss, there's also an interesting insight there, which is that these topics typically contrast either family businesses with non-family held businesses, or they would revolve around these core topics that I just discussed on the previous slide. So there is some you can get some intuition of what type of research is being done currently. By no means this is a prognosis of what will be done in the future. There might be specific concepts, specific theories that could arise from family business research and then be applied to research more broadly. Think about effectuation theory that has been developed by Saraswati in entrepreneurship and then has been adopted by other fields. So that is by no means an indicator of what is coming in the future, but it's a strong indicator of what type of research is found to be of interest to the general audience. And this is typically something that compares typical organizations, non-family, or I shouldn't say typical organizations, but organizations as such to family businesses in particular. And that helps us to understand the differences, but also the unique insights that family business research might and is able to render to organizational theory as such. This already brings me to a discussion of journal choice, because that's something that authors oftentimes struggle with, which journal is actually my target journal, which actually journal actually fits my research. And typically, we differentiate between generalist and specialist journals. There are key differences in audience and readership, differences in reach, and differences in scope, meaning the type of papers that are published by a dedicated field journal like Family Business Review or Journal of Business Venturing would be typically narrow in scope than the papers that are published in the more general journals, just because that these journals are read also by different people. And the readership should be of these people should find some interest in your particular paper on family business. So I've brought with me an excerpt of a decision letter that is specifically discussing scope in that context. And I think this is quite an interesting one to read out, I'm going to do that right now. AMJ places a strong emphasis on the incremental contribution made by an article when judging a submission. The literature impacted by your study is a fairly narrow one. Moreover, although you note that your study fills some gaps in that literature, it must be noted that not all gaps are created equal. Some gaps are very nuanced or incremental or have little impact on the state of knowledge in a given literature. Other gaps are more fundamental, such that the filling of the gap changes the state of knowledge in some important ways. This is a statement about scope, of your paper, and this already indicates that the importance of the research gap. You know, not all gaps are created equal, it says here. Essentially, it means, well, there are gaps that are worthwhile researching. There are gaps that are narrow gaps that are worthwhile researching, which would then be appealing to a specific audience in a field journal like Family Business Review or JBV or ETP. And then there are gaps that are broader that could inform the development of other fields. And those gaps would then be the ones that have the necessary scope to contribute to a general management, to make a contribution to a general management journal. The journal choice is also impacted, of course, by your theoretical basis and your phenomenon. You know, we've seen that across the board, that you can frame a paper purely depending on the phenomenon. This has been done oftentimes in user innovation research. This has been done lately in crowdfunding research, but also in family business research. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. Don't misunderstand me. This is, I think, very important contributions. What you need to consider is that by writing a phenomenon-based paper, you're speaking to the people, to the researchers, practitioners, whoever reads your paper in that specific domain. If you want to reach a larger audience, you need to extend the scope of your contribution and of your paper, and in other words, increase the interest in your paper. And how can you do this? By not only talking about the phenomenon, but by developing some more fundamental insights, you know, and those fundamental insights are the theory that you can contribute to management research, organizational research, maybe even to innovation research. This brings me already to the next point, which is the theoretical contribution. The theoretical contribution is a cornerstone of any AMJ paper. There will never be a paper published without a strong theoretical contribution. There needs to be the empirical contribution as well. So we are looking for studies in our journal that combine empirical rigor with theoretical contributions. And there are a number of strong theoretical contributions that you can make, you know, and for instance, it's a falsification of conventional understanding. Something like this should come out of your study. You could build theory through inductive or qualitative research. We very much welcome these types of research in AMJ. It's the first empirical testing of a theory, a meta-analysis with theoretical implications. You know, so the theoretical implications here play a key role as well. And the constructive replication that clarifies the boundaries or range of a theory. And there are a number of ways that I just have shown you that in which you can contribute to theory. What's important is that, you know, you need to understand that you build your paper on a theoretical base, on a theoretical lens that also provides you with a lens on how you look at your topic and which questions you ask. So typically, family business research lends itself to a resource-based view of the firm, or agency theory, stewardship theory, behavioral theory, maybe even more broadly organizational theory. What is important is that you have this newness angle to it. You know, how can you contribute to this existing body of theory in order to inform that body of theory, advance that body of theory? There is still the opportunity to develop theories in the family business area on its own, like the effectuation approach in entrepreneurship that I mentioned before. And this would be a wonderful thing if this would come out of family business research, if that could be also fertilize the ground of other research domains. But I mentioned novelty, so let's look at novelty for a minute. And I brought with me again an excerpt from a decision letter that addresses novelty in particular. I read it out for you. AMJ places a strong emphasis on the novelty of a manuscript's contribution when judging a submission. The journal's mission statement stresses that authors should strive to produce novel, innovative, interesting, and theoretically bold research. My sense is that the contribution of your article was more incremental than it needed to be, and that it lacked some of the boldness that this journal strives for in its pages. So novelty is definitely a major element in research. The level or the strength of the advance in that sense, you know, this, did you make a larger leap forward with your insights? And that, I think, is the core question that you want to have in mind. The next point is actually one that is related to the previous points, but sheds light on the previous points from another angle. It's credibility of your study. And credibility of your study is something that is extremely important to achieve, because ultimately other readers will ask you, well, can I believe the results that are presented here? And papers that can deliver that type of value, credibility, have a number of features. And I've drawn these features up on this graph here, and it starts with a theoretical base, status quo of research. So a credible paper needs to be able to convince the reader that you as the author and the paper correctly depicts the current research state. And you would be surprised how many papers fall short of a good theoretical base and status quo of research recap, which is basically the platform on which you build your study, you know, in which you then develop your hypothesis and test your hypothesis. So you build on these elements in order to develop some research insights, you know. And then the third level would be the new state of knowledge. So if the theoretical base is flawed, the status quo of research is flawed, maybe then the hypotheses are not as compellingly argued as they could be. There could be mistakes in the theoretical, in the testing, and the methodological execution of your study. Or there might be false errors in any of these elements, you know. So, and one fault is typically enough to undermine the credibility of your study, which in that sense means also that you need to be very meticulous, very careful in each of these steps when crafting a study, a research project, which starts with the very first steps that you take when developing maybe a survey or toying with a research question even. The grand challenges that lie ahead in the family business research fields are probably numerous, as the grand challenges lie ahead of the management field as such. At AMJ, we have currently an editorial series that is discussing each of these grand challenges that we have identified in some detail, so I encourage you to turn to the journal and look at those editorials which you find on the first few pages. But let me stress a couple of ones. We have at the moment a call out for papers that are addressing these grand challenges, like the proliferation of big data, like social media and the digital economy, like the extended life expectancy and health. And I, on the following slides, I'm going to just mention a couple of research questions that are related to these grand challenges and that could inform not only family business research, in my view, but also organizational theory, organizational research as such. So one key element is of course, prevalent and very meaningful to family business research is longevity. You know, what do people experience when they live to 100 years, and what does that mean for family businesses if there are multiple generations in parallel? It's a financial dependence of a greater number of family members on the business. They have a strong interest in the business. There might be conflict management. The role of governance plays an important role. If you have larger and larger families, you have to split up maybe the share of ownership among a lot of people. These are all questions that are core to the definitions that we discussed before. You know, it's this notion of family members in parallel, generations in parallel, conflict and conflict management are critical research areas in family business research. So if people live to 100 years and there are multiple generations, this poses new types of challenges to family business, and these are definitely worthwhile to be researched. And there are a number of other research questions that could arise. You know, what would happen to marginal family firms? Would they be? Would they have to? You know, the elderly in those companies, would they be able to support these firms, so there would be more help, or would they be? Would they have less ability to survive, as much needed funds are not reinvested because they have to be paid out to the family members? You know, so that's a critical question. What then happens to the relative importance of family business? Would that increase or decrease? You know, and the positive element could be that given the state of the social security systems, that are never, you know, that the family business has to support an ever growing number of family members, which cannot rely on the pensions, and therefore, you know, there might be new forms of family businesses that become more prevalent, conglomerates, more diversified firms. All the question on the macroeconomic level arises, thus, therefore, that whether the family business becomes more or less important over time, and I think these questions are all up for grabs, you know, given the longer longevity of family members, and given the social restructuring that we see in the pension systems, another key question that is obviously coming to mind is given that all the dramatical technological changes that we are observing, from 3D printing to the web 3.0, 4.0, whatever you want to call it, firms like Airbnb, Uber entering the domains with innovative business models. There are actually lots of family firms that are in those traditional domains and that are affected by dramatic technological challenges. So the question is one, and I think this question has been around, but it's posed even more strongly nowadays. The question is one where whether and how family firms can survive these types of turmoils. On the one hand, it's the family business is focused on the long term. It has an organizational identity. It's in a certain business. But on the other hand, there's also a family identity that may or may not match the organizational identity. Concretely, meaning, you know, if you have a firm that is operating in area A, industry A, and that area, industry A, should be challenged tremendously by technological change, this firm might have to exit A and enter area B, industry B. If the family identity is very much wedded to A, this type of organizational renewal that is necessary is, of course, much more challenging for family businesses than for any other type of organization. But if the family identity is more an abstract one, saying we have a family business, we have a commercial operation, and wherever this commercial operation is active is of secondary order, then this could actually be beneficial to strategic renewal. And given the rate of change that we are observing right now, I think this is a critical question. You know, the ability of strategic renewal in the face of organizational and family identities. You know? There we see value migration happening. Maybe there will be a need for unprecedented flexibility arising from that, which ultimately poses the question, who are you as a family? And the third element that I want to point out is the role of design and management. I've written an editorial on that in the January issue of 2015 of AMJ, which discusses that in much more detail. So I'm going to forward you, you know, I'm going to point you to that particular paper. But let me point out that there's a lot happening in the role of in design and the interface to management. One key element is, of course, design thinking with respect to customers, and we have experienced that with a number of fantastic products out there that are providing great experiences to consumers, even when they buy the product. But this has not yet reached the inner circles of a company, meaning the employees, you know, the workplace design. And I think there lies an important aspect, an important research frontier as well for family business researchers, because we know that family businesses provide meaningful types of work to many employees. What do these changes in the workplace and the drivers that fuel these changes, such as competition for talent, the changing expectations of the workforce, the Generation Y, and the technology transformation in the workforce. What do these drivers mean actually for family businesses? Maybe they are becoming the go-to point for the younger generations because these organizations can give meaning beyond that meaning that other organizations can provide. There are a couple of research questions along these lines that are specified in the editorial, so I want to point you to the editorial and want to conclude just by saying that I think family business researchers are in an exciting area. There has been lots of research in that field in the last couple of years in particular, but I think there's, given this, the importance of these types of businesses and given that we still are at the beginning of understanding them quite well. I think we have a long trajectory of interesting research questions and research opportunities ahead of us. So I wish you all good luck for your research in that domain, and I hope to meet you in person at some point in the future. Thank you and good luck.